Well, last week, you'll recall, we had, for our gospel, Jesus telling the story of the parable of the sower and the seeds. And this Sunday, we continue with this agricultural imagery, right, with the good seed, the wheat, and the weeds. And every day, you and I are sowing different seeds. Our lives are full of choices. We're sowing different seeds. And some of those choices become grains of wheat. Others become weeds. Our Lord tells us in the gospel that at first, the wheat and the weeds look almost identical, right? They grow side by side. And it's only with time that their true nature is revealed. What first appeared harmless, even beneficial, may eventually bear bitter fruit, while the good seed quietly produces a rich harvest. As the Catechism reminds us, throughout our lives, the weeds of sin will still be mixed with the good wheat of the gospel until the end of time. Every choice we make plants something in the fields of our lives. The question is, what kind of seed are we sowing? What kind of seed are we sowing? Well, this weekend marks the beginning of Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, which coincides with the 58th anniversary of Pope St. Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae on the gift of life, human life. More than 50 years ago, the church was asked to discern a seed, When the birth control pill was introduced in the 1960s, it promised a great deal. Right? At first, the seed appeared to be good wheat. Right? Many believed it would strengthen marriages, eliminate many of our society's problems, usher in a new era of freedom and happiness. Right? There's widespread expectation, even within the church, that Catholic teaching would change for the first time in history and declare contraception morally acceptable. Instead, in 1968, while many saw only wheat, Pope St. Paul VI recognized another seed had been sown. And he courageously reaffirmed what the church has always taught. Now, many people might think of Humanae Vitae, this landmark encyclical on the gift of human life, that it's simply a document about saying no to contraception. It isn't. It does do that, but it's far richer than just that no. At its heart, Humanae Vitae is a beautiful meditation on the dignity of marriage and the beauty of conjugal love. And to be honest, many Catholics, it seems, have never heard this teaching explained well or clearly. Right? Sometimes in the past, we priests and bishops have failed to preach it clearly or beautifully or at all. And for that, I am sorry. I am sorry. Pope Paul VI, you see, wasn't looking upon the church and her children as kind of a distant authority, imposing burdens. Rather, he was writing as a spiritual father, a loving father, one who loved married couples and wanted them to experience the fullness of God's plan. Right? The culture often reduces sexuality to pleasure or self-expression or personal fulfillment. At best, it may see children as an optional addition. But the church sees something far greater, right? Far richer. The love shared between husband and wife is sacred. It's sacred, a complete gift of self that's faithful, fruitful, life-giving, and always open to God. In the very beginning of Scripture, right, the first command our Lord gives to Adam and Eve is be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Now think about that. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Isn't that remarkable? That the very first command our Lord gives to us is one that it's not a burden, but an invitation to love and joy and fruitfulness, and yes, pleasure, and communion with God Himself. All right, this tells us something about the heart of our Father, about the heart of God, that it's not about what He's trying to take away from us or what He's trying to take away from married couples. It's about what He refuses to let them settle for. what he refuses to let them settle for. That he's showing them how to love as he loves. That he's designed marital love to unite husband and wife in a bond so profound that in the gift of a child, they even cooperate with himself. They cooperate with the Creator himself in bringing forth new life. Right? Few teachings of the church hold, I think, married love in such high esteem as Humanae Vitae. Pope St. Paul VI encyclical, Humanae Vitae. But because Pope Paul VI loved marriage so much, he also warned against anything that would diminish its true meaning. That he recognized that contraception was not simply about preventing pregnancy, but that in every act of marital love, God has written two inseparable meanings into the gift of sexuality. That it's meant to unite husband and wife in love, to make a complete gift of themselves to each other, and it's meant to be open to the gift of life. Right? Those two meanings belong together because God has joined them together. Contraception does something different. Contraception deliberately separates what God intended to remain unified, united, and it closes the marital act to just one of those meanings. Rather than receiving fertility as a gift, right, one to be received, it intentionally excludes it. And that's really the deeper issue here, the deeper seed, if you will. It was this growing belief that that fertility was a problem to be managed. That fertility was a problem to be managed rather than a gift to be received and reverenced. And Pope Paul VI warned that if this seed took root, it would bear bitter fruit, not only for married couples, but for society itself. And he made four remarkable predictions in this regard. First, that there would be increased marital infidelity and family instability. That secondly, there would be a greater lowering of moral standards. Thirdly, that women would increasingly be treated as objects for pleasure rather than persons to be loved. And don't we see this so sadly with this pornification of society and the treatment of women? And last and fourthly, that governments would one day claim authority over human fertility in ways that threaten personal freedom and even religious liberty. These predictions were made 58 years ago. Now, the harvest has begun to reveal the kind of weed, the seed that was planted. Now, many of Pope St. Paul VI's concerns seem remarkably prophetic. This is where our gospel really comes into focus. Right? When the weeds first appeared in the field, they looked very much like wheat. But only later could their fruit be seen. The same is true of many choices we make in life. You know, some decisions appear practical, efficient, even compassionate in the moment. But only years later do we recognize whether they've produced the rich harvest God intended or otherwise. Now, brothers and sisters, this isn't about looking back with condemnation. It's about looking forward with wisdom and love, because God never reveals the truth to us simply to tell us what's wrong, and that's it. He reveals the truth to show us what is beautiful and good. And that's where natural family planning enters in, because the church doesn't simply say no to contraception. She says yes to something infinitely greater. She says yes to God's beautiful design for married love, to parenthood, and to a way of living that respects both the dignity of husband and wife and the gift of their fertility. And the gift of their fertility, their shared fertility. And if contraception represents one seed, then the church proposes another. As she continues to sow the good seed by proposing natural family planning because it cooperates with the way God's designed the human person. It respects both that unitive and procreative meaning of the marital embrace rather than separating them. You know, natural family planning never changes the marital act itself, right? When couples have carefully discerned serious reasons to postpone pregnancy, natural family planning simply works with the rhythm that's already written into their very fertility. And now, if all you've ever heard about natural family planning is that it's, quote, Catholic birth control, I have to say, sadly, you've never really heard what it is. Now, maybe you're thinking, Father, isn't natural family planning just the old rhythm method, as it was often referred? Now, modern natural family planning is serious stuff. It's grounded in decades of medical research, careful understanding of a woman's fertility, and it's highly scientific, highly effective when practiced correctly, and it's very beautifully offered to couples to help engage their unity and to promote greater communication and unity because it works with a woman's natural cycle rather than suppressing it. Natural family planning can be used both to postpone pregnancy and to help couples achieve pregnancy. And it also can help women better understand their own health and even reveal underlying medical concerns. But perhaps the greatest strength isn't found in science alone, but is in love. That its greatest strength is found in love. Because natural family planning teaches husbands and wives that fertility isn't merely her responsibility or his responsibility, but that it's both of them. It belongs to both husband and wife. It becomes, if you will, a partnership of fertility. That together the couple learns, prays, discerns, and sacrifices. And yes, there is sacrifice. There is sacrifice. You know, any faithful couple will tell you that. There are times of abstinence and patience and trust. But love always involves sacrifice. Love always involves sacrifice. And by embracing this sacrifice together, many couples discover deeper communication, greater prayer, a stronger marriage, because they learn to discern God's will together. Month by month. And these may seem like small things, little things, but they're little seeds, like that little tiny mustard seed of which we heard in the gospel, or that leaven that starts out small but grows and grows into a rich harvest. Good wheat does not grow overnight. And neither do holy marriages. Neither do holy marriages. The Second Vatican Council beautifully reminds us of this, reflecting on God's plan for married love and parenthood. Gaudium et Spes, one of the constitutional documents of the Second Vatican Council, teaches us that any of these realities, especially concerning married love, conjugal love, any of these choices we make in life, they can't be measured only according to the standards the world offers. Right? They always have a bearing on eternity. They always have a bearing on eternity. That's why the church speaks about these things, not because she wants to intrude into our lives, into the private matters or the private lives of married couples, but because there's no part of our lives that's outside God's loving concern. There's no part of our lives that's outside God's loving concern. That he doesn't want only part of our hearts. He doesn't want only part of our hearts. He wants all of our hearts. He wants all of it. He doesn't ask that we follow him only in public while leaving our most intimate relationships untouched by his grace. He desires to sanctify every part of our lives, including marriage and family life and the beautiful gift of conjugal love. Now, following the church's teaching on marriage and parenthood, This isn't simply about following rules. It's a path to holiness. It's the good seed that bears good fruit. And at the same time, I know that conversations like this can touch tender places. It can touch tender places. Some married couples carry the heavy cross of infertility. And discussions about fertility can sometimes deepen that pain. And the church's teaching isn't meant to isolate them or suggest that their marriages are somehow less fruitful. Right? Their love, their fidelity, those sacrifices they carry are deeply precious in God's sight, and the Lord remains close to them in their suffering. And others may hear this teaching and realize that they simply have never been taught it before, or at least not clearly. I think that's true for many Catholics. And others may recognize choices they now regret, whether the use of contraception, sterilization, or other decisions many years ago. And if that's you, I want you to hear this above all. Right? The Lord who gives us his truth always gives us his mercy. The Lord who gives us his truth always gives us his mercy. That the same God who reveals his plan for marriage is the God who never tires of forgiving those who trust in him, who turn to him with humble and contrite hearts. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late to begin again. I think some of the most beautiful witnesses to God's grace are couples who've discovered this teaching later in life. Right, that looking back, they perhaps see they wish they would have known sooner. Yet instead of just remaining discouraged, they entrust those years to God's mercy. They seek confession, sacramental confession, and begin living more fully according to God's plans. Now, many have become, like these kind of couples, some of the strongest witnesses, including for younger generations, right? Helping their children and grandchildren discover the beauty that perhaps they themselves came to appreciate only years later. Right, some of you have quietly lived this teaching in your own lives and for decades, perhaps. Right, you know the sacrifices it asks. Thank you. Thank you. Your witness has borne fruit, and perhaps in ways you may never truly know this side of heaven. Right, but that's that hidden seed, that tiny seed that works mysteriously. So on this Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, if you've never really learned what the church teaches about married love, God's plan for married sexual love, conjugal love, I encourage you to do so. Learn more about natural family planning, not simply as a method of, again, like spacing pregnancies, but as part of God's beautiful vision for marriage and conjugal love and parenthood and the sacred gift of life. All right, please see our website. We have a whole page devoted to natural family planning. Quite beautifully, our diocese has a department, the Office of Marriage and Family Life, dedicated to this with a practitioner of natural family planning who's available to talk to individuals and couples anytime. There are so many wonderful resources for everyone to learn more. All right, brothers and sisters, every marriage is cultivating a field. Every marriage is cultivating a field. Every choice plants something. Every day you and I sow seeds, right? Some become weeds, others become wheat. May we choose the good seed, that good seed that Christ places into our hands. And may Christ, our good shepherd and the sower of the good seed, continue to cultivate the fields of our hearts, so that our marriages, our families, our lives may bear the rich harvest he desires. And whenever we recognize that there are weeds, whenever we recognize that weeds have found their way into the field, may we never be afraid to turn back again to the one who, as we heard in the psalm, is good and forgiving, who never tires of showing us his mercy, the one who is always ready to help us begin again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.